What's up, guys? I'm Kevin Lapka.
I'm Ryan Talley.
This is the Lapka and Talley podcast coming at you with some week 15, right? Yeah, I believe it is week 15. Week we're that 15. Late into the season. I can't even believe it. Flew by. So we're going to do a little bit of week 14 recap and then do our previews for week 15. I still can't believe it's week 15. It's 3 weeks left, folks. Well, 3 weeks left of regular season, and then you're down to playoffs. But for a lot of teams, you only got 3 weeks left. But a lot happened in week 14. A lot of games that went the way that people didn't expect. We could start with that Raiders game. I don't think a lot of people expected that one. But that was Ryan's, I believe that was your underdog of the week, wasn't it?
My sleeper.
His sleeper. And he said the Raiders were going to cover, and they did. And they ended up beating the Steelers because Steelers kicker Chris Boswell slipped on the potential game-tying field goal, and they missed the field goal, and Oakland wins 24-21. Some other games around the lead. Chicago Bears win, beat the Rams 15-6 on Sunday Night Football, which means the Saints, who won, beat the Buccaneers, now move into that number one seed in the NFC. And this year particularly, I think the team that controls the number one seed in the NFC is going to make it to the Super Bowl. So that is a big loss for the Rams and a big win for the Saints. Other games. Dallas beats Philadelphia 29-23 in overtime off of an insane tip play that Amari Cooper, you know, what's the guy, the defender's name on the Eagles?
Russell Douglas.
Russell Douglas tips the ball in the air. Great play by him, and it just happens to fall in the hands of Amari Cooper, who takes it in 5 yards for the touchdown. So Dallas takes over. They were already in first place in the NFCs, but they pad their lead. They look like they clinch? They did not clinch yet.
They didn't clinch. No.
But yeah, I think if they win next week, they'll clinch or something like that. But they are 8-5 leading the NFC East. Other games, Miami Miracle, 34-33. Miami Dolphins win on a last-second touchdown because, for some reason, Rob Gronkowski was on the field because apparently Bill Belichick thought Ryan Tannehill could throw a ball 70 yards, which he can't.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes does magic again. They beat the Ravens in overtime, 27-24. Indianapolis stops Houston's winning streak, winning 24-21. Green Bay gets back on track with a win. Cleveland upsets the Carolina Panthers, who have now lost, I believe, 5 in a row. New York Jets beat Buffalo 27-23. Tennessee, Derrick Henry is a monster, 30-9. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars on Thursday. And just yesterday, the Seattle Seahawks contained their lead in that fifth wild card position by beating the Minnesota Vikings 21-7. Seahawks played well, but I think that game is more of the Minnesota Vikings being in disarray. But that was week 14. So now we're getting to that point of the season where every game is important. You can, with these picks now, you can say that you think you know these teams, but you really don't sometimes. I mean, a lot more often you're probably seeing more favorites win, but I mean, even last week, San Francisco beat Denver, Oakland beat Pittsburgh, you know. I mean, people expected the Giants to win, but there'll still be a few upsets in there. But most of the games, a lot of people will be able to foresee the winners because people know what these teams are late in the season. So that being said, Ryan, let's go to our Week 15 picks. Give me your lock of the week.
My lock of the week, I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints again. I picked them last week. I'm going to pick them again this week. I got them -6.5.
Against
Carolina Panthers. The Panthers have really been struggling. 5 straight losses. They just do not look like the team that was 6-2, pushing to potentially take over the NFC South division from the Saints if they continue to play like they were early in the season. But that team from early in the season appears to be gone. Carolina Panthers are really struggling offensively, defensively, so I'm gonna take New Orleans here. This is actually the first matchup between these two teams this year. Surprising that two division teams.
So they played twice these last 3 weeks.
Yeah, they're gonna play. They're gonna play week 15, week 17.
Yeah.
So that's kind of surprising, but New Orleans got back on track last week against Tampa Bay. And I think they'll continue their push for the first seed in the playoffs on the NFC side. I think they win this game fairly comfortably.
Yeah, this one's tough for me because New Orleans, yes, they did win last week, but we can't get over that loss against the Cowboys, and they haven't been the same in my opinion. They kind of got back to it last week, but hey, that game was close for a majority. I think they pulled away in the fourth quarter, but you know, even then, 28-14 late in the fourth quarter against the Buccaneers, like, you know, this is a team that should probably be blowing out a team like the Buccaneers, but you know, they look different, and this is going to be a game for them to gain a little bit more momentum going into the playoffs. I don't know if it's a lock. I think the Saints are going to win, but I still think the Panthers could cover this. At home, Carolina, you know, after losing five in a row, usually the guys are going to be, I mean, there's two sides of it. The guys are going to be either like, oh, it's over, I'm going to give up, or they're going to be like, all right, let's, you know, we saw Minnesota lost this week, we still have a shot, play hard, come out and get the win against the Saints. So I'm gonna take Carolina here against the spread. I think New Orleans wins the game. But because it's at home, because Carolina has a lot to play for, considering they are 5-1 at home, I think they do play better on Monday Night Football at home, and I think they cover this one, possibly win. But, you know, it's a 6 spread, so with the power offense of the New Orleans Saints, you could definitely see them win by a touchdown and that go towards the Saints. So not a bad pick at all by Ryan. So he's taking the Saints -6 against the Panthers. My lock of the week is the Chicago Bears -5.5 against the Packers. There's actually not that many games this week that I was too confident of, so I went with the Bears because, not because I'm a fan of the Bears, but this team right now is playing out of their minds, especially at home. I think that's really important for them, is that they're playing really well at home, and the fact that the Packers are 0-6 on the road. So we know about the woes of the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, they won last week, but I'm still not impressed of who they are, and I think the Chicago Bears this year, you know, they can clinch the NFC North with this game, and I think the stadium's going to be insane. You get to clinch the NFC North to get the team against your rival team that has terrorized you for the past 5 to 10 years. Everyone's going to be pumped up. The players going to be pumped up. I don't think there's any way the Bears lose this game with the state of the Green Bay Packers and with the state of the Chicago Bears. So the Chicago Bears this week are my lock 100%. I would advise you to put a lot of money on the Chicago Bears in this game because, to me, I just don't see many ways in which the Green Bay Packers can beat the Bears and this defense.
Have you picked the Bears every week?
No, I have not. Now, I did not pick. I actually wasn't going to pick them against the Rams early in the week. I haven't picked them every week. I didn't pick them earlier in the season. I picked them to lose to the Packers the first week of the season. And then since then, I probably have picked them every game because, you know, they've been close. I don't think I picked them against the Patriots. I think that was the only one. So I haven't picked them two times, but if you look at their other two losses, the Dolphins and who is the other loss? The Giants. You know those. You know you can't blame me for picking the Bears against those teams. So, you know, you could say it's biased, but I think if you're looking at this game particularly, I don't know how you can pick the Packers. What do you say?
No, I agree with that. Bears at home are a very good team. Packers had a good week last week, but they're certainly not the Packers of 4 years ago.
No, not at all. And I said, you know, the team can clinch the NFC North against the Packers in this game. It's going to be a different type of energy. You know, I mean, you saw a different type of energy against those Rams, and now imagine what this is going to be, you know, being able to clinch the division against Aaron Rodgers and the goddamn Green Bay Packers. So finally, we're going to put them away. The Bears are going to put them away and clinch that NFC North. You like that, Ryan? All right. Underdog of the week, Ryan. Who we taking?
Underdog or favorite?
Go underdog first.
All right. Underdog of the week, I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Chargers here. +3.5. I think they're going to win this game. Game is being played in Kansas City, but the Chargers are hopeful to get Melvin Gordon back. Although it is a Thursday night game, short week, they're optimistic that they will get him back for this huge
Melvin Gordon?
Game. Yeah.
Oh, I thought they weren't optimistic.
No, they were.
Okay.
Earlier in the week, at least, they were. The Chargers are playing excellent football. They know what this game means. If they lose this game, they basically are out of the division race. They can't win it. They're definitely going to make the playoffs. They would need an absolutely horrible collapse to miss out on at least a wild card spot, but they don't want just a wild card spot. They want that division crown. They want to have the byes going into the playoffs. They know the stakes. Philip Rivers. I think he's going to come out strong. They're going to have to match Patrick Mahomes. And I think this Chargers team, with their defense plus their offense, I think can overcome just Kansas City's great offense. I mean,
right,
this still isn't a great defensive team in Kansas City. So I think being able to play on both sides of the ball will help the Chargers win this game. They're going to come out, I think, like I said, I think they're going to come out strong. They know the stakes of this game. This is an extremely important game, not only to just the AFC West, but the entire AFC as a whole. So I'm going to go with Los Angeles here as my underdog, and I do think they win.
I love that pick because I've been saying it all year. I'd say it every podcast. I think the Chargers are going to win the AFC West, and this is their opportunity on Thursday Night Football. I think the crazy thing here is if the Chargers win this game, the Chiefs drop from the 1 seed to the 5 seed, and the Chargers move from the 5 seed to the 1 seed. So if the Chargers win this game, they could take the number 1 seed in the AFC, which is insane. I mean, the fact that the Patriots lost, I don't think they're going to... I mean, they could finish 12-4, but hey, if the Chargers win this game and they win out, they take that number 1 seed in the AFC. And I think if they do, I mean, the problem with the Chargers is if you have that number 1 seed, it doesn't mean a lot because you're playing at StubHub Stadium. You know, you can't really be talking about this home field advantage because most of the time there's more opposing fans than
playing in Los Angeles is definitely better than playing in Foxborough.
Yes, that is true. That is true. But I mean, the only time they'd probably play in Foxborough would be the AFC Championship.
10,000 or 70,000.
Yes, you're right. If it gets to that point, yes. But for the early stages, you know, may not matter. But regardless, winning the division would be nicer than a wild card game. They would get that first round bye, and a lot of positive things can come from that. And yes, I love that pick. I love the Los Angeles Chargers in this game. I think the Chiefs, you know, they kind of the Ravens threw a lot at them, and you're kind of seeing a lot of these teams start to figure out the formulas of these high-powered offenses, right? You saw the Bears be able to shut down the Rams, and the Ravens be able to shut down the Chiefs, and the Cowboys shut down the Saints, and how they're doing it is it's all starting with a lot of pressure and a lot of, you know, not necessarily dialing up blitzes, but the way the Bears were able to stop the Rams on Sunday night was they dialed up a ton of pressure. Jared Goff got flustered, and you know he made a lot of bad throws. They didn't know what to do. They also were able to shut down the running game, and now that KC, I mean, you look at the Cowboys game, right? When they shut down the Saints, they shut down the rushers too. It's huge to shut down the main rusher of that offense. And you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, like I just said, Kareem Hunt is gone, and Spencer Ware is a good rusher, but he's not Kareem Hunt. So if the Chargers here can shut down Kareem Hunt. I know Patrick Mahomes is a really good MVP candidate, but anytime you can make an offense one-dimensional, it's extremely powerful and in your advantage if you can make an offense one-dimensional. And I think the Chargers do that in this game. I don't love Spencer Ware that much. I think they shut him down. I think the defense is what wins this game for the Chargers, and that's why I think they're a better team. You want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. It's like Oklahoma in college, right? Best offense, you know, Oklahoma has the best offense in college football, and oh, they're so good and so that, but they have no defense, and that's why, you know, I compare them to the Chiefs here. Is they have an okay defense now. They got Eric Berry back, but to me, they're not a defense that is worthy of making a Super Bowl run, and I think it starts in this game with the Los Angeles Chargers knocking them off of the division. All right, my underdog now, I'll go quickly, San Francisco 49ers +5.5. I like this one because Seattle Seahawks, you know, when you see a team win, I think they've won 5 in a row. I think it's 5 in a row. They're 3-5. They are now 8-5. When you see a team win 5 in a row, 6 in a row, usually teams don't win more than 5 in a row. It's pretty rare, honestly. So usually they'll slow down a little bit at some point. And at home against
four in a row.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Usually, I mean, the 49ers, they haven't been playing horrible. They beat the Broncos last week at home. They're a better team at home, 3-3 at home, which is not bad at all, considering their team right now. And George Kittle, I love what he does. The defense, you know, it's not terrible. The San Francisco 49ers really aren't as abysmal as people think. I mean, this is a playoff team with Jimmy Garoppolo, but unfortunately, they had a lot of injuries, and, you know, running back injuries, all sorts of injuries around the field. But to me, I just see something about this game. I see them, divisional opponents, it's going to be close and at home. I think the 49ers come out and I think they win the game and beat the Seahawks, which would really make things interesting in the wild card race for the NFC. I know they would only drop to 8-6, but if you see Seattle kind of skid a little bit the next few weeks, you might see one of the, you know, if Carolina wins, you might see one of the teams creep back up into the, possibly Philadelphia, creep back up into the race. So if you're an NFC wildcard team looking at this game, you got to be a big 49ers fan this Sunday. So taking the 49ers at home as my underdog of the week, we're going to move on. We're going to go to favorite of the week now. Ryan, who is definitely going to win that is a favorite?
My favorite of the week is the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. This team is actually playing a lot better since Josh Allen has returned to from injury to his starting role at quarterback. Three straight games with at least 99 yards rushing
for Josh Allen. I believe that broke Michael Vick's record.
That's absolutely incredible when you think about the rushing quarterbacks in the league, like Lamar Jackson, and it's Josh Allen, the guy with the rocket arm. They're going up against Detroit, and Detroit really is struggling. They barely beat the Arizona Cardinals last week. I believe they went 17-3. Yeah. I mean, the Cardinals are the worst team in the NFL.
I believe
close to it.
Oh, I have to look it up again. I think them and the 49ers are tied at 3-10, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, the Cardinals are 3-10. But they are a bottom team in the league, and this Detroit Lions team is just, you really can't get a handle on what they actually are. I mean, early in the season, they shut down the New England Patriots. On Thanksgiving, they kept the game close against the Bears. I know the Bears did not have Mitch Trubisky in that game, but they did play them close. This is just, it's a weird team, and I don't think it's a very good team.
I don't either.
Buffalo, like I said, is playing better since getting Josh Allen back. I think they win this game by, obvious, they're minus 2.5, so they're going to win it by at least a field goal, in my opinion. I think Josh Allen's going to have another big day running the football and throwing the football. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like Buffalo this week. At home, also.
All right, so he's taking Buffalo at home. I like that pick, too. The Detroit Lions are also, yeah, they're a very weird team. I can't really describe them. You know, it's strange to me. All year, this is a team that actually has a decent amount of talent, and a team at the beginning of the year I thought would probably go 9-7, 8-8, you know, somewhere around there, possibly be in that wild card race. And, you know, they're 5-8 right now, and they've got a lot of problems. And I know it's early, but I honestly wonder if Matt Patricia was the wrong coach there in Detroit. He doesn't interact with the players. It seems like a culture problem more than anything to me, but I have no idea what's going on in that locker room. I don't know, but I like Buffalo at home. I know they're 2-4 at home, but, you know, they seem to play better at home. Josh Allen, I think he has another nice game rushing. You'll probably see him throw, I don't know, 200 yards and a touchdown. But this Buffalo team needs weapons on the outside. When Zay Jones is your leading receiver, you probably got to fix something on the outside there. I mean,
yeah,
they released Kelvin Benjamin, but this is a team right now that is most definitely, in my opinion, going to take a wide receiver in the first round of the draft. But back to the game, I like the defense of the Buffalo Bills, and I don't like the turnover-prone Detroit Lions, so I think the thing that's going to swing this game is a late turnover or the fact that the Buffalo Bills are going to win the turnover battle, and that's going to give them the win at minus 2.5, so I'm going to agree with you. I'll take the Buffalo Bills there. Moving on, my favorite. I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. They play the Dallas Cowboys, the very hot Dallas Cowboys, plus 3. I'm not going to say the Dallas Cowboys are a fluke, because they're not, but I don't think they're as good as everyone's saying they are, in my opinion. You know, everyone, they get so much media attention because they're America's team and everything, and they've got some nice pieces, but I also don't think their defense is as good as everyone's saying. There's people who are saying this Dallas Cowboys defense is best in the NFL just because they shut down the Saints. I'm going to have to disagree with that. They don't have all the pieces of great defense yet. I don't like that they can't convert too many turnovers. I don't know how many what their turnover margin is or how many turnovers they create, but I feel like that's something. You know, they shut teams down recently, but They don't need to get more turnovers. And against the Indianapolis Colts, I don't see them getting too many turnovers. I think Andrew Luck is playing out of his mind right now. If it weren't for him being on the 7-6 Colts right now, I think he might be an MVP candidate. But I like Indianapolis at home. They're 4-2 at home this year, 2-3 against the spread. But, you know, they do play better at home, as most teams do. But Andrew Luck, to me, is going to be too much for this Dallas Cowboys defense, their secondary specifically. T.Y. Hilton is just one of those guys that can burn anyone on defense. You know, whether it's Jalen Ramsey, whether it's, you know, any great quarterback you can name, he's a guy that can tear down any defense. Look for a big game from Eric Ebron. He's been a big red zone target who has really heated up this year. And is Marlon Mack back for them? I believe he was injured early in the year. I don't know if he played.
I believe he did play this week. I haven't been tracking it.
So he played. I just like what they're able to do. And again, this Indianapolis Colts defense is actually okay. And this Dallas Cowboys offense, to me, you know, Dak Prescott, we know he's going to fumble 8 times. So probably get a few fumble recoveries
there.
Close to it. So, yeah, to me, Dallas Cowboys are not a Super Bowl contender, and I love the Indianapolis Colts at home in this one. They have a lot to play for here. They're still in the wild card race in the AFC. If they win, I think they do secure that spot if they beat the Cowboys this week. What do you say?
Yeah, I actually really like this pick. Indianapolis has they got the win last week. They broke Houston Texans' winning streak. They have been playing well for a good portion of the season, and this Cowboys team, it's just, yeah, they have a good defense, but the Eagles put up 17 points on them in the fourth quarter, and if it weren't for a missed extra point, the Eagles win that game.
Yeah.
A bunch of missed calls also in that game. We're not going to get into that, but it wasn't like the Dallas Cowboys absolutely blew the Eagles out in this game. They put up over 500 yards of total offense and barely beat the Eagles. They scored 23 points in the game. I mean, this isn't a great offense. They're very turnover prone. And I think Indianapolis at home takes advantage of Dak Prescott's inability to hold on to the ball. And I think the Indianapolis has a good enough offense to at least get some points on this Dallas team. I mean, this Dallas team is not, their defense is not impenetrable. They can definitely be beaten. So I do like the Colts to win this game at home and the Cowboys winning streak.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to that turnover thing I was talking about just to justify that. The Dallas Cowboys right now have an average turnover margin per game of 0. So that means they take the ball away as much as they give it away. But if you look at the teams who are top 6 in the NFL right now, the top 6 teams in the NFL are all top 12 in turnover margin. You have the LA Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs, Chicago Bears are number 1, Rams are 3, New Orleans is 8. Turnovers, I mean, when you play football, usually the way it is the team that wins the turnover battle wins the game most of the time. I mean, that's usually just the way it is most of the time. And we all know that Dallas can't take care of the ball, and they don't take away the ball that much. And again, like I said, I think that's going to be the problem for them in this game. I like the Colts' ability to get the ball. I mean, they take away the ball more than the Cowboys do. So they take it away 9th most in the NFL. So I like their ability to do that against Dak Prescott. I just wanted to justify that. So I'm going to take the Colts as my favorite of the week. Ryan, we're going to move on to sleeper. Who is not projected to win but will win or cover this week?
My sleeper of the week is going to be the Miami Dolphins.
Ooh.
The Miami Dolphins are plus 7 against the Minnesota Vikings, which is very surprising. This Dolphins team just beat the New England Patriots. It was on a miracle play, but it's not like they had like a couple Hail Marys and a couple onside kicks, and just they were in this game until the end, and then they had one lucky play that put them over the edge. But it wasn't like they had a string of miracle plays. The game was close the entire way. And this Minnesota team is just, I don't know what happened to them, but they have zero offense. Their defense isn't great. I mean, they just fired their offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo. yeah, I don't know what's wrong with this Vikings team. They're not running the ball enough with Dalvin Cook. I mean, Dalvin Cook is an exceptional running back, and they just do not give him the ball enough. And I think Miami has a chance to win this game. Mm-hmm. They can definitely score points on offense. Not necessarily the greatest defense, but I think they can play well enough to keep this game close with Minnesota. The game is in Minnesota, but I think Miami keeps this game close, and I think they have the possibility of pulling out a win.
I have a question for you, because the news of the day today, as we all know, is that the Vikings did fire offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, so this game this week against the Dolphins will be the first week that they will not have their offensive coordinator of prior games this year. So the question I have for you is, will this Minnesota Vikings offense be better off or worse off because of the firing of John DeFilippo?
I think they're going to be better off, and the only reason I say that is because generally when you fire a coach, you try and stick to the basics. You try and get your run game
going.
Yes. You're not doing anything overly creative. You're just sticking to the basics to make sure everybody knows what they're doing. Yeah. And I think that's the problem. I think the Vikings don't stick to the basics. They don't run the ball enough. It's pass, 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 pass all the time. So I think it will actually help them in the long run, because I think it'll force them to use Dalvin Cook more, get their run game going, and I think that's what Kirk Cousins needs to be successful.
I completely agree. I mean, this is an offense that put up 0 points. I mean, they scored a garbage time touchdown in the end, but 0 points against the 18th ranked defense in the NFL. Like, the Seattle Seahawks have a good defense, but they're not a defense that I'm expecting to shut down Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, and all those weapons they have in Minnesota. So something was clearly wrong. I think they made the right move by firing John DeFilippo, and like Ryan said, usually when that happens, you know, you figure out what's wrong. When something like that happens, something's wrong. Something is noticeably not occurring in the offense, and in this occasion, in which it is most of the time, the running back is not getting the ball enough. So I think they become more balanced in that area. It's a tough pick because the Dolphins are 1-5 on the road. They're such an up-and-down team. I think we say it a lot. They're the most inconsistent, weirdest team in the NFL. They win a lot at home against some really good teams. They lose a lot on the road against some really bad teams. The definition of an average team. In this one, though, I think they lose by 7, so I'm going to say it covers. But it's a tough pick for sure, because no one knows what the Vikings are now. You know, I'm not confident. If you were a better betting for the Vikings in this game, you certainly can't be confident for it. I mean, 61% of the community right now is taking the Dolphins. But I think the Vikings, they get back on track a little bit in this game. But I just want to talk about long run here. You spend $84 million on Kirk Cousins, and here he is having a 4-24-1 record against teams above 500. So you begin to wonder, if you're the Vikings organization, did you give $84 million to the right man? And, you know, there's not a lot you can do in the future years getting out of that contract. I mean, most likely they're going to keep him. You're probably not going to throw away a guy like that despite his woes this year. But, you know, I begin to question if they made the right decision there with Kirk Cousins. It was kind of the talk of the night last night was, you know, he didn't have a great game. I would look up his stats right now, but they were not great at all. I think I had Kirk Cousins, 20 for 33, 208 yards, 1 touchdown. You know, it's just, and again, a lot of those yards are coming from those garbage time yards in the end there. So something has to change in Minnesota. You might even see them fire Mark Zimmer. You might. You know, they might go a different direction. Everyone nowadays, like I said, everyone nowadays wants to be Matt Nagy. They want to be Sean McVay. They want to find that next guy. But little do they know, I don't think it's that easy to find guys like that. So I do have a feeling a lot of teams are going to try to go that direction in the offseason. And, you know, that's what everybody wants now. They want the next, you know, guy from the Andy Reid tree, or, you know, the next Sean McVay and all that. But, again, those guys don't come, you know, easily. They're hard to find, and they're almost kind of a rare breed. I mean, the guys that I can name are like Matt Nagy, Sean McVay, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, and Josh McDaniels. And I don't think Josh McDaniels is leaving New England, is he? I mean, after what happened last year with Indianapolis,
it's a tough sell to commit to a guy who who
commits says, to the job and then
who says he's going to be head coach, hires a staff, and then backs out. I mean, not a great look there. But, yeah, everybody wants to find the next Sean McVay, the next great offensive mind. And it's not like these guys are just everywhere. I mean, Sean McVay is almost a... He's a new breed, and it's going to be tough to find guys who are like that. Yeah. You're going to have to get lucky. I mean, if you look at Matt Nagy this year, he looks like a great hire. But Doug Peterson, he did win a Super Bowl, but his calls have been questionable. So, like, just because you can get the guy from the Andy Reid tree doesn't mean that that guy is going to be the next great thing. Yeah. I mean, the Eagles' play calling has been questionable this year, and Doug Peterson is Andy Reid's guy. He was his backup quarterback for a while. So, like, everybody wants to find that great head coach, but they're not always out there, and it takes some luck.
It sure does. It takes a ton of luck, and we'll see how it plays out. I'm gonna look up the top head coaching candidates this year to see who's available. You know, John DeFilippo, I don't think he's getting a job after getting fired by the Vikings. I mean, he was one of the top candidates last year. People wanted him to go to the Bears, and thank God that didn't happen. Josh McDaniels, like we talked about. The Chiefs offensive coordinator right now looks like he might get a job. Dave Tube, Chiefs special teams coordinator, he was on the market for a job. And who knows, Urban Meyer to the Packers, right?
That's what Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson's coming out, and someone's going to get him.
I would not be surprised if...
I don't think there's any
way. Not Hugh Jackson. If a couple college coaches move up to the NFL ranks.
Guys, I'm looking at Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, David Shaw from Stanford, even Cliff Kingsburg.
Former Texas Tech head coach?
Yeah. I mean, that guy put up...
The producer of Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, that guy put up like 150 points a game at Texas Tech. He didn't have a great record, but he's an offensive genius, and
a guy that I kind of like, too.
That's what you need, I guess.
Yeah, right? That's all you need now. That's all you need. A guy that I kind of like, too, that's been in the discussion for the Green Bay Packers job, although he went on air and said he does not want that job, is Bruce Arians. Formerly said he retired, but there have been a ton of questions around him, and it certainly seems like he would be willing to make a move back into the league. And I think you may see him get a few interviews and maybe even get hired, because I still think he's a really good coach. I mean, he took that Arizona Cardinals team to the NFC Championship. They were very good a few years over there, and then some pieces kind of fell apart for them that wasn't directly his fault, but the team felt like they had to go in a different direction. But he retired, but I still think he comes back. So... All right, enough of the coaching carousel. We're going to go to my sleeper of the week. Weird one for me is the Tennessee Titans are a 2.5 underdog against the New York Giants on the road after that impressive win against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm taking the Titans as my sleeper. I know the Giants have been playing better, but they're 2-4 at home, 1-4 against the spread. And the Titans, to me, right now, are the better team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I think they're going to be able to stop OBJ and who even knows if he plays, but that offense, Saquon, you know, he's a guy you almost can't even game plan against right now. I mean, he's done some crazy things to the best teams in the NFL.
He's unbelievable.
I mean, he shredded the Bears for a good amount of that game, and right now he might be the best running back in the league, but I don't expect Derrick Henry to have a big game again. This guy, it's kind of weird to me because it's a guy who I thought coming out of college would be having games like this or be the rusher he was supposed to be, and he finally showed that last week, but he's been inconsistent. I don't know if he will ever be the guy that we think he's going to be even after last week. Maybe that's the week that puts him over the edge and gives him some confidence, but regardless, the Tennessee Titans have a lot to play for right now. They're 7-6. And I'm telling you, when you get this late into the season, you know, a lot of this comes down to who's going to go out on the field and play harder and who's going to have more fight and more drive. And in my opinion, it's going to be the Tennessee Titans in this game. I like Mike Vrabel and the way he prepares his team. And I think they come out here and they get the win on the road against the New York Giants, a team, to me, that is also very inconsistent but been better recently. What do you think about that?
I actually like the Giants here. I think that the game for Tennessee was kind of a fluke.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, I respect that.
Derrick Henry did get a ton of yards, but he was getting a lot of long runs. And the Giants have been playing a lot better than what we saw earlier in the season. And Saquon Barkley is absolutely destroying NFL teams. I mean, this guy comes right in from college. There's no learning curve at all. He's got over 1,100 yards rushing, over 600 yards receiving. Mm. He can do it all. He's got 13 total touchdowns this year. And I don't know if Tennessee's going to be able to stop him, because no one has been able to stop him really so far. Even in the Giants' losses, Barkley still manages to get a big play. He's just so dynamic. It's tough to question that pick anymore.
Yeah,
there's a lot of questioning about taking a running back number 2 overall, but it's hard to question that now with the way he's been playing in his rookie year.
Right. If you look at the Tennessee Titans right now, they have the 18th ranked rush defenses, which is why I said that concerns me. But they do have the 6th best pass offense by yards per game, and that's why I said if they can, you know, keep it one-dimensional, you know, let it rely on Saquon to the point where, you know, they can't do much more with him, I think they could come out with this win. You're definitely not looking at a shootout in this game. You're definitely looking, if the Titans want to win this game, you're looking at 21-17 or something like that. But the Tennessee Titans with Marcus Mariota, that's a very weird situation to me in Tennessee. Marcus Mariota last week was 18 for 24, 162 yards and an interception, no touchdowns. I know it's a Derrick Henry show, and I know they gave him the ball 17 times or whatever, but it's just so strange how this guy was, you know, a lot of people wanted him as their quarterback 2 years ago. He was looking like the right pick, and that quarterback draft class doesn't look too good anymore, is it?
No, it's not look good.
Yeah, so interesting game there. Keep your eye on that if you are an AFC wild card contender. We're going to go to a few more games. We still got a little bit more time, so we're just going to talk about a few more games here that are kind of interesting. We're going to start with that Philadelphia Eagles at Los Angeles Rams game. Interesting game here because of the stakes. Well, stakes for both the Rams and the Eagles, because if you see the Saints lose this week and you see the Rams win, Rams will take over the number one seed. I'm going to keep stressing how important that is for each of those teams. Like I said, I think that team that holds the number one seed in the NFC will make it to the Super Bowl. But, you know, this line right here is +9. Eagles are underdog. So, Ryan, I know they haven't looked great. I know they're 1-4 on the road. But is this still a team that has enough fire to upset the Rams at on the road on Sunday Night Football?
No. I really don't think so. Eagles defense, it's really struggled this year. That was a key part of their Super Bowl run last year, and they have really struggled. They play well when it counts sometimes, but I would not be surprised if the Rams put upwards of 550 yards up against.
Wow.
I mean, the Dallas Cowboys just put up over 500 yards, and the Rams certainly have more firepower on offense. I think Todd Gurley has a really big day. I would not be surprised if Brandon Cooks doesn't have a big day. And from what I've seen and of this Eagles offense, I just don't see them matching that firepower.
Well, what about the defense? I mean, not the front. You don't think the front seven could do anything against them, against the Rams? I mean, you saw what the Bears were able to do, putting on pressure.
No.
You don't think that front seven can put some pressure on Goff, make him make some throws?
No, I really don't. Fletcher Cox, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the league. He's a dominant defensive tackle. But the Eagles just, they get pressure, but they don't get to the quarterback. They surround the quarterback, but they never seem to get to the quarterback. And I think the Rams are going to look for a lot of dump-offs to Todd Gurley, a lot of screen passes, and they usually work against the Eagles team. There's not a lot of speed in the secondary for the Eagles.
Yep.
And that's definitely hurt them this year.
When do they get some of those guys back? you know, you talk about who's out right now for him. You look at
Rodney McLeod. Rodney McLeod.
I mean, he's not great either, but he's still better than Bosby or...
I think he tore his ACL, maybe.
Really?
Or he tore his ACL early in the season.
Yeah. What about Darby? Is Darby playing?
Darby tore his ACL.
Oh, my God.
Jalen Mills just got put on IR.
So it looks like that's the unit they're going to be rolling with for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, they're going to be going with Sidney Jones, Russell Douglas.
Craven LeBlanc.
Yeah.
My guy.
Not a great secondary right now.
And it's really tough. It's really going to be hard to win games with that secondary. I mean, even if they somehow sneak into the playoffs, you know, it's going to be tough for them to beat some of these teams. If you look at the Rams, though, against the spread in their last home games versus a team with a losing record, they are 2-8-1. So they are kind of not showing up at home against teams with a losing record. They're 0-3-1 in their last four games on grass. So you got to be concerned if you're a Rams fan playing on the grass.
Definitely.
So, I think the safe pick is probably the Rams.
I think the Eagles could cover.
But they could. Nine's big.
Yeah, nine is big, but I don't see a win.
What do you think they do in the offseason if you're the Eagles? To bring this team back to who they were in 2017.
They're gonna need a lot of replacements. Left tackle Jason Peters might be on his way out. It would seem like it. He gets hurt every single game. he's not the player that he was 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham is going to be a free agent. I doubt he's back. Middle linebacker Jordan Hicks is going to be a free agent.
Wow.
Questionable if he's back.
Yeah, a lot of guys.
Nelson Agholor and Golden Tate are both free agents.
I don't see re-signing Golden Tate.
If either of them are coming back, you never know what Agholor is going to demand on the open market. Rodney McLeod's starting safety has a huge cap hit. He might not be back. So this team could look different next year. They're going to need a lot of replacement, a lot of help from the draft, a lot of help through free agency. But you also have to remember, they're going to have to pay Carson Wentz soon. And they're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
Even just like the Cowboys are going to have to pay Dak Prescott, you got to pay these guys because it's hard to find quarterbacks in this league, and you just got to pay and hope that they turn out to be a franchise quarterback. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but you got to do it. And the way that quarterbacks are getting paid nowadays, you really got to map it out to structure the rest of your team, because quarterbacks are getting paid $30 million a year, close to it.
Yeah. Now that we're talking about the offseason, I just want to note one thing that came out today, some more NFL news. The salary cap for 2019 is now projected at $187 million to $191.1 million, which is a $10 million increase from the $177.2 million mark last year. So that's a sign of the NFL doing well, but also, you know, a lot of teams have more money in the offseason, so players are going to demand more. But, you know, for teams with low salary, nice that you get a few more dollars there to spend in the offseason. Some other news. A lot of people didn't even know about this. Ben Roethlisberger got hurt in that Raiders game. He was out for, I believe, a quarter or something like that. He was out for a good amount of time.
He got hurt early in the third quarter or at halftime.
Yes.
Right before halftime. And I don't believe he came back in until the last couple drives.
So he was out for a little bit.
When the Steelers actually were down.
But he led the game winning, or he led some drive to keep it close, and everyone's like, what the heck?
I saw that he could have gone back in earlier, but I think they were hoping that they could, you know, beat the Raiders
with the backup.
Yeah, but he did come back in. I think he said he expects to go, but you never really know, setbacks, whatever might happen during the week.
Well, the big news out of that is that he does expect to play Week 15 in a huge game for them. Their record right now, I believe, what are they, 7-5-1? 7-5-1. So if you look at the AFC playoff race, can you look that up real quick? I don't remember what the other AFC playoff race. They play the New England Patriots this week at home. They're a home underdog for the first time probably in a long time. They are
the 4 seed.
They're the 4 seed right now. Yeah. Oh. Well, see, if they lose this game... See, I gotta go look at these standings right now. Because the Ravens, I think they're, what, 7-6? They're 7-6. So if they lose this game, I think the Ravens take over the division. If the Ravens win. Yes, that's true. The Ravens win. Who do the Ravens got? What do the Ravens got? They play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's probably a win for them. So the Steelers, this is a must-win game. You got to win it if you're the Steelers.
Very close to it.
So the news is that Ben Roethlisberger is expected to play against the Patriots, and Tomlin is not yet ruling out James Conner, but that offense clearly saw an effect of not having James Conner. So if both of those guys can play, you know, it'd be crazy to see New England lose two in a row and be, what would they be at that point? 9-5?
New England?
Yeah, they'd be 9-5. So
yeah, 9-5.
I mean, I have a question for you. We're just spiraling out here. It's just a random question, but is the way it's looking right now is that the AFC is not going to run through Foxborough for the first time in a long time, it seems like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Do you think this Patriots team is going to be the same Patriots team we see in the playoffs if the AFC does not run through New England?
Yes and no. I'd say yes because they're a veteran team. Bill Belichick's still running that team. He gets his team prepared. But I'm going to say the no part comes in because I don't think they're going to make the Super Bowl this year. As well as they might prepare for any game that might be in Los Angeles or Kansas City for a potential AFC championship game, I don't know if they're good enough to beat those two teams.
It might not be.
They really should.
This is a different year for them.
They've had some real struggles this year against the Dolphins, against the Lions.
Almost lost to the Bears.
The Jaguars. Yeah. This is definitely not the most dominant Patriots team that we've seen in recent memory.
To me, they're the most vulnerable Patriots team in recent memory. Meaning, this could be the year that they finally get dethroned. I mean, how many straight AFC championships have they made? I don't even know the number, but it's a crazy number.
How many have they made?
I believe it's 8. I believe they made 8 or something like that in a row.
I'm not really sure.
I believe it's that much.
But I'm pretty sure since 2000 or 2001, every single AFC championship game has featured
either
Ben Roethlisberger, Tom Brady, or Peyton Manning.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's crazy to me. So this could be the year, folks, that streak ends. You may not see Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers or Tom Brady and the Patriots. The way the AFC is shaping up right now, there are some good teams. But quick game. We're going to go other games to keep your eye on just real quick before we end here. If you're the Denver Broncos, I guess you keep an eye on that one. They're home against Cleveland. A win for them can keep them in the playoff race. The Atlanta Falcons, doesn't matter for them. They want to lose so they can get a draft pick, but they probably will not lose to the Cardinals. Redskins, unfortunately, they are done. I don't see them winning this game, even with it appears to be Josh Johnson starting at quarterback for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
He actually had the third most fantasy points from fantasy quarterbacks in Week 14. More than Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and Patrick Mahomes. No, I don't think he had more than Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, I doubt it.
But, yes, he had the third most fantasy points for a quarterback, which is incredible. And then probably America's game of the week is New England against Pittsburgh. That's the one to probably keep your eye on. And maybe Philadelphia can beat the Rams on Sunday night. You never know. You never know on Sunday night, folks.
Gonna need a miracle.
Gonna need a miracle. Maybe we'll call it the Philadelphia Miracle or something creative like that. Who knows?
Very creative.
Very creative. Right? I mean, come on. Look at all the other miracles. You just Minnesota, do the name of the city miracle, or the name of the state and Miami, throw it in front of Miracle. The Mile High Miracle. The Music City Miracle.
The five miracles at the Meadowlands.
I thought there was like two. There's been five? I mean, you got DeSean Jackson.
DeSean Jackson, punt sit, or
punt,
walk-off punt. Brian Westbrook returning a punt. very late in the game that beat the Giants. Herm Edwards recovering a fumble for a touchdown when the Giants had the game sealed, but instead of kneeling the ball, they ran the ball. I'm pretty sure that's actually what started the trend of kneeling the ball, because the Giants fumbled the ball. Herm Edwards returns it for a touchdown. What else? Blocked kick. Eagles get their own kick block. Picked up by the Eagles. Run in for a touchdown. This is in the 90s.
Well, who's playing? The Titans play in the Meadowlands. Maybe we'll see another Music City miracle, or another miracle at the Meadowlands this week.
Maybe.
Maybe. You never know. There's been plenty of miracles.
You never know.
That was the Week 15 preview picks against the spread podcast. Hope you guys have a great week. Watch some football. Keep your eye on some of these games. It's going to be a fun week around the league. We're kind of seeing these teams shape up and the playoff picture shape up. I'm Kevin Lapka. That's Ryan Talley. Have a great week, guys.
See ya.